Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners. As you know, we are in the month of Rajab, and these are very sacred days, these are very sacred nights. And, you know, we just passed the birthday of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a very important and significant day. For that, we would like to congratulate our listeners. And today, we want to ask a question about a religious rite in Islam that is performed in this month, and that is the rite called the i'tikaf. What is i'tikaf? In order to answer this question, we can say that i'tikaf refers, this is a act of worship. It refers to staying in a mosque for a specific time, at least 3 days, along with the act of fasting. And the principal pillars of this rite of worship, this act of ibadat, is obviously staying in the mosque and fasting. And other than that, no specific acts have been mentioned for this. Obviously, there are certain conditions. Obviously, for this, certain conditions for this act of worship, its permissibility, and so on and so forth. And also the conditions of staying and exiting the mosque, and so on and so forth. These have been mentioned in the acts of jurisprudence, which we don't want to get into here because this is outside of the jurisdiction of our program. The i'tikaf, it doesn't have a specific time. However, according to the riwayat, the traditions, the best time for this act of worship, this i'tikaf, is the month of Ramadan, especially the if we divide the month of Ramadan into portions of 10 days, the third portion, especially important for this and very good for this act. It is also performed in, like we said, in the month of Rajab, which we are currently in. The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of this month has been allocated in many Islamic countries, such as Iran, in which many of the mosques of Iran are used for the month of for the act of i'tikaf. Just to elaborate a little bit more about i'tikaf, the word i'tikaf comes from the root, Arabic root, ayn, kaf, and fe, which lexically it refers to turning towards something, orienting oneself towards something. This word has been used in the Holy Quran in many places, in a couple of places. However, technically speaking, in like we said, in religious terminology, this refers to staying in the mosque. Obviously, it has certain conditions, and fasting, in this time period. It should be noted that i'tikaf is something that Muslims learned from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it was also something interesting to note that existed prior to Islam amongst the Arabs. They had certain like rites which were similar to this, it continued after the advent of Islam. This is a little, some information about the i'tikaf. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the i'tikaf. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'd like to begin by extending best wishes to you on this very important celebration in our calendar, the birth anniversary of our first Imam, the brother of the Prophet, husband of Fatima, and the father of Hassanain, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. When it comes to Ali, the issue is not that where will we find issues and topics and themes to talk about him. When it comes to Ali, the issue is, what do you don't say? Because there is quite a lot. You can have a multi, volume book on Amir al-Mu'mineen. You can have sessions after sessions talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen. But let me go to his very famous title, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sometimes when we use this term, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we just have this concept in mind. Yes, there are thousands and millions of Mu'mineen around the world, and Ali is the Amir of that group. We have to realize he is not only the chief or the leader of the Mu'mineen globally. Rather, when it comes to Muslims, if you really want to see the measure by which you can say this Muslim has Iman or not, you will have to see whether he loves Ali or not. In a statement by Amir al-Mu'mineen, quoted by Sunni authorities, Imam Nasai in Khasais Amir al-Mu'mineen, Nasai is one of those authors who had written this book on Hadith. And he has a special book dedicated to Khasais Amir al-Mu'mineen. Means the special qualities of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He, as well as Muslim in Sahih Muslim and many other books of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they actually have a quotation from Amir al-Mu'mineen where he says, by Allah, the one in his hand is my soul. The Prophet has told me very clearly that, O Ali, none shall love you but a mu'min. Look at the way the words have come. La yuhibbuka illa mu'minun. No one shall love you but somebody who is a mu'min. And nobody will hate you but that he is a munafiq and a hypocrite. So when it comes to the issue of Ali, You know, Ali becomes the standard and the measure for Iman and Nifaq. Those who love Ali, they have Iman. Those who hate Ali, they actually are on the path of Nifaq and hypocrisy. Even the celebration that we have for his birth anniversary, the birth itself was a very extraordinary event. Because if you look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, there is a term used by the Sufi masters where they say, Ali was a spiritual being in the material world. You see, he doesn't belong to this world. He is from the spiritual world. He has manifested here in that way. And if you really want to see that concept in one way, Ali is somebody who was born inside the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And we know that he was killed inside Masjid al-Nabi in Kufa. He spent many, many years in Medina in a place where his house was in a way part of Masjid al-Nabi. Born in Masjid al-Haram, killed in Masjid al-Kufa, lived for many, many years in Medina in Masjid al-Nabi. What can you say about him? Even if you look at the places, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi, Masjid al-Kufa, these are the most sacred masajid according to our fiqh. Salawat parna ek parar. When we talk about the birth of Ali, and I would like to focus tonight on the Kaaba itself, in relation to Ali, these were similarities between Ali and the Kaaba. But now we come to one important difference. When it comes to Kaaba and Hajj, it is wajib on all Muslims. Quran says that, you know, the Hajj is wajib. Man istata' ilayhi sabila. Istita'at. Anyone who has the capability, health-wise, wealth-wise, he has the money to go, then it is wajib. So it's not wajib on all Muslims. Only those Muslims have the financial and health capability to travel to for Hajj, it is wajib on them. Otherwise, it is not wajib. But when it comes to the love for Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no conditions there. No excuses there at all. Sayyid Radhi, in one of his books known as Khasais Amir al-Mu'mineen, is a narration going all the way to the 11th Imam, you know, his Sanad, and then from 11th Imam to Rasulullah, where he says, Ya Ali, mathalukum fin nas, mathalu safinati nuh. Your example, Ali, among the people is like the Ark of Nuh. Man rakibaha naja, whoever embarks on it, they will be saved. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرَقَ Whoever abandons it, they will perish. مَنْ أَحَبَّكُمْ يَا عَلِي نَجَى وَمَنْ أَبْغَضُكُمْ وَرَفَضَ مُحَبَّتُكُمْ هَوَى فِي النَّارِ Whoever loves you will be saved. Whoever hates you will go into Jahannam. And then the Prophet comes to the Kaaba. وَمَثَلُكُمْ يَا عَلِي مَثَلُ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ The example of Ali, you is like the Baytullah, the Kaaba. Man dakhalahu, you know, the whole Baytullah there. Whoever enters that area, it's a sanctuary. He is secured. Nobody can do anything to him. Even according to Islamic laws, even if a criminal runs away from the police and goes into Masjid al-Haram, they can't go after him. They can ask the people not to give him food and drink. Although he will still survive on Zamzam there. But they can create an environment that he is forced to come out, then they will arrest him. And that is the irony, you know, when we talk about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that they even plan to kill him by the Kaaba itself. Whereas Quran says very clearly, Man dakhlahu kana aminan. Whoever areas goes to that area, it's a sanctuary, and they will be safe. And so the Prophet relates that to Ali. That whoever loves Ali, they will be protected from the azab of the hereafter. And then we come to the main point. Ya Ali. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. O Ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that it is a duty for people, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to visit the Kaaba. But who? مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever has the means to go to the Kaaba. فَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عُزْرٌ فَلَهُ عُزْرٌ. If somebody has an excuse, he can't go. Because of, let's say, the political circumstances of his own country. Then his excuse will be accepted. مَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلَهُ عُذْرُهُ. If somebody is poor, cannot afford to go to Mecca for Hajj, he is excused. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا فَلَهُ عُذْرُهُ. The Prophet says, whoever not feeling well, health-wise, is not capable of traveling, he will be excused from going from to Hajj. But what about the wilayat of Ali? وَاللَّهِ لَا يُعْذَرُ. There is no excuse when it comes to your wilayat. غَنِيًّا وَلَا فَقِيرًا. Doesn't matter you are rich or poor. مَرِيضًا أَوْ صَحِيحًا. You are in health or illness or sickness. لَا عَمَى وَلَا بَصِيرٌ. Whether you can see, you are blind or you have sight. Doesn't matter in all cases. You must have the wilayat and law of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So there is no excuse when it comes to vilayat of Ali, the devotion to Ali, and the love for Ali ibn Abi Talib.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Aperture. As humans, the earth is our home. It is the only home we have. The earth is where we live, breathe, eat, and raise the future generation. Our entire life support system is dependent on the well-being of our natural environment and all of the species living on this beautiful blue planet. But what have we done to it? How have we preserved it? I'm Zarin Shajeri, and this is Aperture. Unfortunately, our planet is in grave danger. Many species of animals and plants are nearing extinction. Our clean air and water supply is at risk, and more of our beautiful open spaces are disappearing as new buildings and factories are built. What is worse is that the Earth is getting warmer and warmer as we speak. This week's exclusive documentary explores the perilous state of our planet. Stay with us for the first part.
Issue the tsunami warning.
Gives us a clear idea of what's happening.
The cloud is now moving south. It's harmless to people on the
cover with thousands of miles. Why doesn't that energy dissipate?
The Earth isn't feeling well. Its fever has risen, and its situation is getting worse by the day.
Nowadays, we hear people saying the Earth's temperature is rising.
The average temperature of the Earth was about 15 degrees Celsius in the beginning of the 20th century. During the Ice Age, the average temperature of the Earth was only 5 degrees less. Take into consideration this 15 degrees and compare it to the 10 degree average during the Ice Age. Now, if this 15 degrees, God forbid, reaches 19 or 20 degrees, what age would you call that? The ebullient age? Naturally, the subsistence of life will end way before the ebullient age. Of course, the Earth has other problems as well, but climate change or global warming is a major problem, which increases the frequency of drought, storms, and other consequences and natural disasters that take place on the Earth's surface.
The existence of icebergs in the north and south poles cause reflection of solar energy, which is known as albedo. Without an ice cover, this energy will be absorbed by the Earth's surface and accelerate global warming, altering the average temperature on planet Earth. We can say the Earth has a fever. It may be 1 degree or 1 2/100 degrees.
There's a very simple formula. Q is heat energy, which is equal to the mass of substance multiplied by C, which is a specific heat capacity multiplied by delta T. A 2-degree delta T, for instance, is multiplied by a huge mass at a specific heat capacity, which sums up to what? A very large Q. And what does that all mean? It means that all these signals I'm giving you are alarming. And it means that I'm continuously moving from the green line into the orange and red lines and into the danger zone.
Greenhouse gases are gases that can trap wavelengths larger than 4 microns within themselves. These are wavelengths that are radiated to the Earth from the Sun, and when reflected from the surface of the Earth, elements become trapped within the wavelengths. They trap greenhouse gases and absorb heat, which leads to the gradual warming of the Earth.
Just like inside a greenhouse, as in the ones used for farming, when solar radiation penetrates into it, the trapped heat is not completely removed, and it causes the inside of the greenhouse to become warmer than the outside. Greenhouse gases play the same role in the Earth's atmosphere.
Greenhouse gases per se are very useful. The existence of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which we usually refer to as carbon dioxide, is very useful because without these gases, the temperature of the Earth would fall to minus 19 degrees Celsius. Minus 19 degrees Celsius means a total freeze. It means no agricultural or farming product would be able to grow. Obviously, it wouldn't provide the requirements for human existence on the Earth. The existence of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and the partial trapping of energy reflections from the Earth have caused the Earth's temperature to rise to 15 degrees Celsius. In other words, greenhouse gases have caused a 34 degree temperature rise. This process has obviously created the ideal situation we have for all living creatures to thrive. A forest is one factor responsible for absorbing greenhouse gases. It is necessary for soaking up greenhouse gases. Unfortunately, forests around the world are being brutally desecrated for their wood and their land. You can see many instances of deforestation around the world. Deforestation has taken place to enable farming, but also for building factories and cities. When these forests are destroyed, the global sources for absorbing greenhouse gases are weakened.
With the proliferation of greenhouse gases and the increase of human activities on the surface of the Earth, which has provided the growth and spread of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, the basis for absorbing and trapping thermal energy that is reflected from the surface of the Earth is further provided in the atmosphere.
The atmosphere's capacity for greenhouse gases is 2,900 gigatons. And until now, in the year 2010, about 65% of its capacity has been emitted. So from 2010 until the year 2100, the atmosphere only has the capacity to handle another 35%.
And obviously the basis has been provided for the Earth's average temperature of 15 degrees to rise to 15.5, 15.7 or 15.9 degrees and even to 16 degrees at times.
از این 1900 گیگاتون منتشر شده در کل جهان در
اتمسفر. A large portion of the 1900 gigatons emitted into the atmosphere belongs to countries which have caused more emissions starting from the 1840s and 1850s.
1840 و 1850 اینها رو بیشتر از کشورهای دیگر منتشر کرد. کشورهای در حال توسعه.
Developing countries with 81% of the world's population have only emitted 26% of these gases.
Therefore, we're facing a very serious humanitarian hazard, and we need to take serious measures to stop the emission of greenhouse gases.
Progress is being made, however. Beijing authorities are closing factories and outlawing burning coal for heating.
Naturally, a rise in the average temperature of the surface of the Earth from moderate levels can have bad consequences, and temperatures higher than that can pave the way for various disasters on the Earth's surface.
We're working in a totally unsustainable way. We do things to feel at ease, but we only have one planet Earth. We can't later immigrate and leave this planet. If we destroy it, where else can we go? This is it. And the destruction we're causing with technological development is enough to put our lives at risk now. As a human being, I'd ask, what sort of technological development have we accomplished? What sort of technology have we achieved? Or what have we done for human comfort that hasn't harmed us in any way? Give me one example.
The skyline is littered with factories, and toxic smoke pours into the air day and night. For those living here, it's a choice between pollution.
A federal appeals court upheld the Environmental Protection Agency's emission standards for hazardous air pollutants from coal and oil-fired power plants. The court rejected state and industry challenges to rule
designs to clean up mercury. In the European Parliament said reducing supply in the CO2 trading market would boost prices.
What does it mean to live in a polluted place? It means that particles, say 5 microns, 2.5 microns and 1 micron increase. Carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide increase. Now it depends on the quality of the gasoline and the gas that you use. The sulfur and nitrogen derivatives, ozone and finally soot and particulates all scatter in the air and they eventually enter the body either through the nose or the mouth.
So body cells that start from the nose, eyes and mouth and reach the depth of the lungs are all affected, and these substances enter the bloodstream through the respiratory system.
It affects the brain. We become tired fast. We become impatient. We quickly lose our temper and verbally assault each other. There's no need for one to be ill. Those who are ill are at greater risk.
We see B2B, business to business. Just business to business. It's usually called B2B. This is a disaster. Even if it means death and costs us our lives, which is our most important index, we have a brain. We don't use it. The only thing we see in business is the money. Everything depends on how deep one's pockets are.
Development is a natural process in human growth, which has existed for thousands of years. It's now been accelerated, becoming faster and stranger. But during this development process, some of us have become rich. Some are filling up their bank accounts and becoming wealthy. It's interesting, though, that these same people, sometimes directly, but most times indirectly, have to somehow return this money.
The oil leaked for 87 days, the worst offshore spill in U.S. history. BP was later found to be grossly negligent for the explosion aboard the Deepwater Horizon platform. And today, it agreed to a settlement that will include a $5.5 billion fine for violations of the Clean Water Act, $7.1 billion to the U.S. government and five states to repair coastlines smeared by oil, $4.9 billion to settle economic claims by those five states, and up to $1 billion to 400 local governments. Louisiana, the most heavily damaged, gets almost $7 billion, the biggest share.
This is by no means chance and accident. Our experience in development over the past 100 or 200 years shows that technological advancement and city living have been the cause of this. Name any technology you like, or whatever has made human existence easier, and you'll find it's harmed the environment.
China has announced the successful containment of its worst ever reported oil spill, although much work remains to be done before an ongoing cleanup is complete. At a media briefing, the vice mayor of the northeastern coastal city of Dalian, where the spill occurred, said workers had used more than 40 kilometers of oil barriers and 65 tons of absorbent pads to stop the slick reaching international waters. Yet with oil remaining on beaches and in the water, he also acknowledged a full cleanup will be an arduous task.
Go back 160 years in time to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the industrial age in the 1850s, to see an impact.
It's been about a century that we humans have opted for consumerism on the earth, and as we have moved forward in recent decades, consumer demand has risen.
Until a point, we lived along with the earth and the nature. From a point onwards, we just forgot about what the earth is, where it's come from, and where this kind of usage will lead us to. We just want everything. The high consumer demand that we're witnessing these days is just destroying the earth's natural resources.
But a leading scientist suggests the reasons for the drought may be even more worrying for Brazil in the long run. Has continued deforestation in the Amazon and in the Atlantic forest drastically altered the climate?
We created the packaging industry to be able to easily relocate food products and conserve them for longer periods, so we would be able to keep a packet of food or fruit juice for, say, 2 weeks without it being spoiled. What's been the outcome? Go take a look at the landfills to see what we've done to the earth by producing all this garbage, garbage that can't be recycled. It was done for our comfort, but it's also put our future in danger.
If we move back a few decades, there were a limited number of countries that were consumer-based and that used a lot of energy and products like the United States and in Europe. But these days, global consumption on Earth has sharply increased as countries in East Asia, especially China, have started boosting their consumption.
About 56% of these greenhouse gases are produced by fossil fuels.
Naturally, the rise in the use of fossil fuels is due to energy requirements of machines used for ever-expanding development projects. To boost the machine age, the industrial age. Due to this boosting process, the developed world has had to increase its use of different kinds of fossil fuels. This has paved the way for partial deforestation, which aims to provide the agricultural requirements to cover total food needs of a growing global population. This causes change to the optimal 15-degree world average temperature.
In the northeastern prefecture of Miyagi, and what you're looking at right now on the screen is in the city of Sendai.
couple of feet of water, so they have to stand out there until they can manage to get the boat across and then take a big group of them into an entrance rack and ramp of ice.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atar, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of i'tikaf, especially during the months of Rajab, Sha'ban, and the month of Ramadan. In the middle of the months, 13th, 14th, and the 15th days and nights of these months, the people used to, the Muslims, have a kind of spiritual retreat. They go into the mosque, reside over there, fast for 3 days, and are busy with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the significance of these days in the Islamic calendar and the Islamic lifestyle, Shaykh Rouhani?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Theologically, we Muslims believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and kind.
Yes.
Because of his kindness and mercy towards people, towards the servants, he actually provided us with a special kind of programs to help us to improve ourselves, to perfect ourselves. So the way to perfect ourselves is this, that to practice whatever is ordered and commanded by the Prophet ﷺ and the Imam of Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
But sometimes some people might think that, okay, it is really difficult to live like role models, like Imam Ali in this world, like the pious people in this world. Particularly for the youth, it sometimes might become a bit questionable that, okay, it's really impossible nowadays to live that way.
Yes.
One of the very nice and very interesting practical kind of instrument or mean by which we can actually practically experience this kind of spiritual sort of environment in nowadays life, is this to attend this i'tikaf.
Yes.
Because a mu'takif, the person who is performing i'tikaf, he actually practices and performs practically whatever is ordered by Islam in a very spiritual kind of environment.
Yes.
And actually he practically feels that he is under the monitoring of presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is observed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the holy imam, 12th imam, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Yes.
So that's why I think it is due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sometimes provided us with this kind of instructions, particularly in the month of Ramadan, that you have to practice at least 3 days in a year.
Yes.
Practically try to be a good, pious Muslim, a real faithful believer and mu'min, then because this would be a kind of step towards perfection that you put.
Very good.
That's why I think this i'tikaf in the holy month of Rajab is really significant, is really important, particularly for the youth.
For the youth, that's right.
They have to attend.
I will get back to you for the benefits of i'tikaf and what are the benefits of i'tikaf, how to keep, we can say, the spirit of i'tikaf after we leave. Exactly. For example, the mosque or the residing place. We know that these days are called the white days because they say that in the 13th, 14th, and the 15th days and the nights of the lunar calendar, the moon is its most complete form and shining as possible. That's what is called the days which nights are brighter than the other nights. And a person becomes mu'takif, we can say a resident of a holy place like a mosque or a holy places. Sayyid Mohsen, how do you find, we can say, this period of time for a Muslim and a Muslim's life? Is it done by all the Muslims around the world or no? And they are specific to the Shias and the Shia world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, I want to mention that since Islam is a perfect set of life,
Yes.
And Allah has provided all the means that are necessary in for the mankind to reach the perfection. Yes. Therefore, he put some workshops in the Islamic rituals.
Okay, good.
For example, you know, we fast for specific days other than the month of Ramadan. So yes. The first workshop is the month of Ramadan. You fast for the whole month.
Okay.
It is to train yourself, you know, because the training or workshops are where you train yourself, you practice something, and you get some skills.
Yes.
So in the month of Ramadan, you get the skills of how to, you know, give away your food to others, how to bear the hunger,
yes.
and how to be patient in different places. On the other hand, we have, for example, in especially in the Shia school of thought, we have the month of mourning, the month of Muharram,
yes.
where we learn how the hardships were beared by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, right. especially Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
Another workshop, the greater workshop, is the Hajj.
Yes.
Where when people go, they are forbidden from the things which were halal, for example, for them. That's why ihram is like
yes.
when you put these clothes, something becomes haram on you.
Yeah, you're banned.
Which were,
from doing
you're banned, yes, which were allowed.
Yes.
For example, you don't comb your hairs. You don't, you know, the
you
husband
don't beautify
wife cannot,
yourself.
Yes, you don't beautify
you
yourself.
Don't have
there are many things.
Radicals,
you cannot,
right. okay.
you cannot yes. hunt anything,
yes,
even
yes,
a fly or
yes,
the
yes,
mosquito. You can,
oh.
you cannot kill.
Okay.
The shorter form of Hajj, we can say, is the i'tikaf.
Oh.
Which is at least for 3 days
yes.
and maximum for 10 days.
For 10 days, that's right.
So it can go more than that. It
okay.
depends on the person's
yes.
like you know capacity, how it wants.
Okay.
In the Sunni school of thought, they have 10 days itikaf
yes.
and no less than that.
Okay.
It's the last 10 days of the you know month of Ramadan
mm-hmm.
or the last 10 days of Rajab, we can say.
Yes.
But in the Shia school of thought, according to the narrations that we have from Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, it starts minimum is 3 days. And then you can add on 3 more days like.
Yes.
This way you can have 10 days or 9 days maximum, you can okay. say, like 3 days, 3 days, and 3 days for the last 10 days of
yes.
the month of Ramadan
and
the Rajab as well.
Yes.
So basically this was the background. So
yes.
the i'tikaf is one of the workshops, which is to train you, which is to purify you, which is to take you away from the, you know, the busy life of the world.
Yes.
Because, you know, in i'tikaf we leave our mobile phones,
mm-hmm.
we stay in an environment.
Is it a ruling?
Yeah, it is. It is from the... No, it's leaving the mobile.
Yes.
It is said like, do not get involved into the worldly things.
Worldly things, that's
For
right.
example, you should not go out to buy the things and all those,
oh.
except it is if it is necessary that
yes.
you want to do iftar. Because
okay, okay, okay.
the very first thing is
yes.
you need to fast in
yes.
these 3 days.
Oh.
You fast in these 3 days, and the major point is not to live in the mosque. That is not the main thing
mm-hmm.
about this. You
yes.
know, the philosophy behind it.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is not to bear fasting for 3 days, living in a closed environment. This is not the
okay.
is not the goal and aim.
Yes.
The goal and aim is to ponder, to think about yourself.
Very good. Tafakkur.
You know, tafakkur.
Yes.
For these 3 days, at least 3 days, you're away from the world. You
mm-hmm.
don't take your mobile phone with you. You do not, you know.
You're not connected
you
to the physical.
You adore yourself.
Yes, yes.
You don't beautify yourself.
Yes, yes.
You take care of halal and haram, everything.
Uh-huh.
You speak nicely to people. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that is the time to think about yourself, that why I was here.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get to the perfection?
Very
you know,
good.
When I go back for these 3 days, for example, if I'm not using my WhatsApp or Instagram.
Yes, yes.
If I can bear this, yes, for my rest of life, I can control my timings
mm-hmm. Very
of
good.
Using such things.
That's right.
There are many other things, you know, Facebook, YouTube, other
yes,
things
yes, yes.
that I was spending my life,
yeah.
I was wasting my time.
The today's generation, especially
yes.
youth, are busy with these things, the
they
social
should, they should go
networks.
There.
That's
so
right.
it
okay.
is the time to ponder about ourselves. Even the same thing is in Hajj. You know, in Hajj, you have nothing to do. You know, for example,
mm-hmm.
when you go to Arafat, you have to spend a night.
Yeah.
And you're doing nothing. You're just sitting
in
and spending
a night.
In a
bare desert, you have to sit down.
People, if they know
yes.
the goal of the Arafat,
mm-hmm.
when you go there, is to sit there and ponder,
yes.
to think. You know, on the Hajj, why I'm stoning 3 shaitan, for example.
Okay.
What is the purpose?
What is the philosophy? That's right.
We need to go back to the philosophy.
Okay.
So even in the Quran, in chapter Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
He said to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَحِّرَ بَيْتِي we made the covenant
yes.
for Ibrahim and Ismail, أَنْ طَحِّرَ بَيْتِي they both need to purify this house.
Yes.
For whom? لِلطَّائِفِينَ those who come to the Hajj, they do tawaf.
That's right.
وَالْعَاكِفِينَ this is the one who does
itikaf. Itikaf, that's right.
So the Prophet Ibrahim, we need
yes.
to, You know, once if we sit and think that this etikaf, which I'm doing in the mosque, Allah ordered Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail to clean this house. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Akifin are coming.
The people, the residents of...
The residents. Warukka is sujood, and those who bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So this was directly ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets. And we have many verses in the Quran.
That's right.
Which is about the Akifin or Akif. Yes. You can find out this phrase or this word in the Quran.
Mu'takif, Akif, you know all them. They are the derivatives, we can say, as you would say, Akafa, as you said, that's right.
Allah, Allah.
إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون.
الله 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 لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Sheikh Rouhani, especially in today's world, you know, the people are busy with the materialistic life more than before. You know, you just sit down in your car, drive to the mosque, you are connected with your social network with so many people all across the world. So you need a kind of seclusion, as I said, a solitary life in order to go somewhere, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be disconnected from all the things that deviate you from the right path, the distractors. What about the benefits of itikaf? What are they? Are they only useful for the youth, or no, all the people from different generations can take part in that? And what are the benefits
of
that?
Yes, first of all, let me mention one of the practical solution. How can we attend to the tikaf while we are so much busy working all days? Some of our friends in European countries, they have this nice kind of program for their, let's say, for each year. For example, they have some days off during the whole year.
Okay.
And they put those days which are off, they work in those days, and they say, for example, in the month of Muharram, for 10 days, I want to take off.
Uh-huh.
Or, for example, some of them say that in the time of itikaf, I want to be off.
So they select their leaving for that day. They change it.
Exactly.
Okay. That's right.
They work instead of these days and the other days.
They change the calendar.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because the working calendar. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is one of the very good solution for itikaf. It's only for 3 days.
Yes.
You have some days off in every month, for example. So you can change those time and work on those days. And instead of that,
The weekend you work. Yeah, and instead of that, you take leave during, for example, itikaf time.
Exactly,
good.
Yes.
Very nice.
So this is a very practical solution that you can make use of it for attending itikaf at least once in your life.
Yes.
Because it will have lots of benefits, you know. Let me just briefly mention this nice story of Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, one of the greatest scholars of Islam.
Yes.
Once someone asked him that, okay, how can we trust you scholars that, for example, if we practice such and such a thing, we will gain something, we will achieve something.
Uh-huh.
You just promise us something, but we are not sure how to get that. How can you make us sure and certain that we will achieve something?
Yes.
Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi gave this example of the astronomer. Said when an astronomer tells you that, for example, the lunar eclipse or what is that? The
Khusuf and Kusuf.
Khusuf and Kusuf, yeah.
Solar eclipse.
Is going to happen in a certain day.
Yes.
How can you trust him?
Yes.
You know, it's only a promise. Yes. He says, he just tell you something will happen. Then Sheikh Shahabuddin explained that, okay, because you know that this astronomer gained or achieved certain knowledge. Yeah. He studied. He had some instruments and, let's say, tools. And then he know how to use them.
Yes.
How to make use of them, magnifiers or those kind of telescopes, things like that. And then finally, he predict that, for example, something will happen.
Very good.
So if you people want to understand that how that eclipse will happen, you have to first achieve the knowledge.
Yes.
And then know the instruments.
The utilities, that's right.
And then you have to know how to use them.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, you would be able to see the lunar eclipse before it happens. So that's why it's not a promise only. The astronomer sees what is going to happen.
Okay.
That's why he says that you Muslims, you youth, at least trust the scholars, trust the trainers, and practice Once you practice, you will see what will happen to you.
Very good, very good.
And that is why...
Taste, in fact, you
taste, exactly.
Yes, very good.
For example, he said that, okay, you are in search of finding, for example, pleasure, let's say calmness, or what we can say,
tranquility,
happiness, tranquility.
Peace of mind, peace of
prosperity,
soul,
that's
right, okay.
We're always looking for prosperity, for a prosperous life, happy life, to enjoy everything, to have enjoyable life. As he says that, okay, let's practice at least.
Yes.
Practiced what the Holy Prophet said, what the Imam said, for example. If you once you practice, you feel this joy or this kind of pleasure.
We know that nowadays the people take refuge into the pills,
in order
to find calmness. And this is really dangerous,
Of course.
And that's why, for example, so many of the Islamic rulings, Islamic teachings, like the period of i'tikaf during the months of Rajab, Shaban, and the other intervals of the year, are the prescriptions for some of the people who are tired of this worldly life, okay?
Exactly.
At least go and taste once. How is it?
Yeah.
The Arba'in procession, go and taste it.
Yeah.
The pilgrimage, the Salat, go and taste it. Fasting, go and taste it. And then you can find the sweetness, as you said. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, very nice. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, what about the other benefits? And how to keep the spirit of i'tikaf alive in ourselves after these 3 days are done or 10 days are done?
Well, obviously, it's a sequence because you can see that, the Islamic months that they come. Rajab is amongst the first spiritual, you can say, month, which is for the preparation of Sha'ban.
Yes.
And after that, Sha'ban is the preparation for Ramadan.
The three loved months by Prophet
Muhammad,
that's right.
So basically, these are designed in a way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person who does i'tikaf for 3 days in Rajab, he gets prepared for Sha'ban.
Okay.
And in Sha'ban, we have many more things, many more workshops, celebrations as well in the month of Sha'ban.
Very good.
And, Ramadan, let me put it into the material way, that in Ramadan people think like, I'm fasting, so it's kind of something that is taken away from me. People might have some sadness.
Yes.
So Allah has put Sha'ban a month of celebration, and there is no mourning in it, because in the month of Sha'ban we have all the viladats, the birth anniversaries of A'imah Ahlul Bayt, that people celebrate so much, and then they get ready, they have spiritually, because when you celebrate these, there's a spirituality as well for you.
There is a boost up.
So basically, you prepare yourself in the month of Rajab for 3 days. You fast for those 3 days, you go to the mosque.
Yes.
In the month of Sha'ban, you have all the celebrations, you have other, the prayers and all those that you perform.
That's right.
And fasting as well is recommended in the month of Sha'ban. And then you get ready for the month of Ramadan.
That's right.
So basically, rather than saying like how we can keep that, we should see in this way that Allah has put some days in each month which are highly recommended, for example, for fasting, for giving charity, and all those things. So this will help gradually. And therefore, obviously, when we perform, when we give importance to the i'tikaf for the month of Rajab, we definitely give importance to the other things in other months as well. Because it shows that the one who has devoted, because, i'tikaf itself, akif, akafa, it means devotion.
Devotion, yes.
Because
one of the meaning is devotion.
Because this word has been used for, the Prophet Ibrahim has said to Adar, like his uncle, that why you have devoted yourself to worshipping these idols.
Yes.
So there the word akif is also used.
Yes,
so if someone search in the Quran, don't say like akif is, it's been used for that. A word can have many meanings.
Yes.
But the real meaning is devotion. So here when we say i'tikaf is the pure devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Okay. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and all the Muslims the chance of attending the 3 days of i'tikaf in the month of Rajab, 13th, 14th and 15th days and nights of the month of Rajab, fasting over there, attending. And some countries like Islamic Republic of Iran hold organized sessions and gatherings in the mosques and in neighborhoods, are dedicated to this ceremony and rituals over there. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of i'tikaf. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.